Now, if we want to turn to the book of Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, we will find out when God does not hear people praying or even those of the highest authority in the land, which would be the prophet. So it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, that enter at these gates to worship the Lord. Now we're going to transfer all this to the Laodicean church age and the people who call themselves by the name of the Lord, who attempt to enter in by the gates, which is Christ Jesus, who attempted to teach and say that they worship, which would be in the body of Christ where the name of Almighty God is. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trusting on a lying word, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. In other words, their creeds and their dogmas have given them a complete new and outrageous religious system. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and you shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after some gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Now you can apply a lot of that to America. 13th chapter of Revelation, being like Israel. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Now, see, there's where the Catholic Church stands right today. And the Protestants are no different, because there'll soon be a complete reconciliation between them all, which, of course, will come through the necessity of their form of living and the type of life that people like. They will sell everything down the river to the financial system which is coming upon the world. In this house which is called by my name, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Now, you see this through 7 church ages. Each age comes to a close with the judgment of Almighty God becoming an abomination, and out of that little root of the tree comes forth the word, that little life, until to the end time. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore, what I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all of your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Now Ephraim, you see, joined himself to idols, got into complete idolatry, and you notice that they never came up at the end time as one of the tribes because their names were blotted out. That took a process of time, of course, that God just diverted the seed elsewhere. Now notice, he says, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up crying or prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear. Now, if you take that to the book of Proverbs, and it's the 29th chapter and the 8th verse. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now there's another verse that also said that he that turneth away his ear from hearing God's word, even God will not hear his prayer. So you can see here that there is the people at the end time that they're praying, and no doubt they think they're getting a lot of answers, and no doubt according to them and according to much scripture, they are getting a lot of answers. They are not actually getting the results that they desire. Everything they have is as Israel was at the time of the crossing over, and in that particular period of time a little later, where they longed for flesh, and so God gave them the quail and whatever they wanted. Not that that is bad in itself, but that they lusted when God gave them manna, which was a complete and marvelous food. Even the angels ate it, so you can tell what it would do for a human being if he got a hold of it. be tremendously wonderful for him. Everything would be there that he needed and then some. And they turned away from it, and the Lord was angry with them, and he said because of that, because they got the answers to their prayer for what they wanted, which was not according to the word, but according to that which was contrary to the word, God still answered them. He sent leanness to their souls. And we see today a picture of Laodicea where there is the leanest bunch of souls that ever were in the world. And all the time proclaiming they're rich, increased in goods and don't lack a thing, when actually they don't have anything. They're beggars, hoping that somehow they'll even be able to sit outside the door and ask for something. Beggars, you know, don't get in the door. They sit on the outside. Somebody drops them something, you know. So you got a picture of that today. And I just wanted to bring that to your minds, that there are people who think they're getting answers to prayer, and they are getting it to the limited degree of the permissive will of Almighty God. The word that in itself it believed in brings forth answers, but there's no way they're going to get their prayers truly answered in this hour, which the great hour is the end time restoration, the resurrection, and the immortalization of the bride standing here, the catching away to the wedding supper and those things. Now people think they're going to get it, but they cannot. And when you look to these people here and you see them in their idolatry, I want you to know you've come to the place where Brother Branham said, I don't pray for America any longer. Now, there's no use you praying for the church any longer because the church is not going to respond. You can't pray for America any longer because it cannot respond. The greatest praying that anybody can do in this hour, believe me, because the seed has run out, the last elected one must come in, be child trained, which will be very simple and very rapidly done. The greatest praying that you can do is for yourself, that you might become more yielded to God, more submissive to His will, more attentive to His word, in relationship to God and yourself, and then to your family and to each other. And we don't want to become so self-centered that and so family-centered that we cannot think of other people. That would be a great injustice to yourself and to others and to God Himself. But to realize that much of your praying now in this land where we are, to the place where Noah was with seven more people, poor old Lot with just by himself and a couple of wayward daughters and completely rotten sons-in-laws and who else? I don't know. It was a complete tragic mess. The best that Lot could do was to just mumble a prayer to get him and his wife out, and she turned back and became a mess. The daughters came out. I guess they were pulled out, and they were a mess. And poor old Lot, the best he could do was just kind of pray, Lord, I'm an old man, and I don't feel too good, and I hope you'll let me get in this little city here where at least they got indoor plumbing and a few things I could use. And that's about all he got. That's about all he got. And Abraham, back there, by having had discourse with God, stood there, and he and Sarah, composing the bride, truly representative, were right there ready in a short order to bring forth the son that had been promised. And so you got to take your cues from the Bible and your thoughts and your ways of praying from the Bible. You know, don't just get the idea you can pray through a brick wall, that you can set your heart and demand according to certain scripture, which in the sense is true, but there's always the framework that you've got to work within and the motivation that is there. Why are you really praying? What do you really want? And as you examine your hearts, I believe you'll find what you really want is a closer walk to the Lord and a more compassionate, outgoing walk toward others. Because now then you've satisfied the requirements of the whole law and the whole word of God. But these people in idolatry, just wasting your time praying. You don't pray for America, you don't pray for the church. No way you do, because they're not going to come. The door's already closed, it's already over. So, as I say, the big thing is to get in harmony with God. The scripture says in the last day, that day, you know, I'm in the Father, you and me and I and you, there's that harmony there. praying for that consciousness, opening our hearts to be more compelled by the Word, to have more of the Word in our lives and obedience to it, and then manifest that amongst our fellow people, knowing that there are certain things laid down there, such as the Bible said, if you pray and don't forgive your fellow men, neither will God forgive you. Now, you can't apply that to the idolatrous people. You can only apply that to those that are part of your own fellowship in Christ. And then you go one step beyond that, which I find, and I think you'll find, quite difficult until we begin to practice what the Word of God says, is to forgive those who have done us not irreparable evil. Nobody can do that to us. Now, when you're born again, there's nothing irreparable unless you let it be irreparable, unless you don't want it mended. There's nothing irreparable as far as you yourself is concerned in your own spiritual ways. But you can, and I can, do great damage to ourselves by allowing what people have done to us to become an obsession, to be grouchy. Like, I'm 79 years old, and I remember Brother Branham's words. He died 23 years before, and I'm still living. He's only 56, and I'm 23 years older. And he was talking about the fact, even in 1953, 2, 51, and 50, how that the Branhams had palsy. And he said, I can see myself an old man shaking with my cane. Well, I thought that was a pretty lousy testimony, but the man was just being honest and truthful. It runs in the family. Who's to say he wouldn't have palsy? But he didn't say God couldn't heal him. And then he said, there's one thing I don't want to just die, a bitter, complaining old man. Well, I'm an old man, and I do complain a certain amount. But thank God I'm not bitter. Now, I get madder and hotter than a firecracker on the 4th of July. You know, those cherry bombs. I admit it. I admit that I get hot as a firecracker. But I don't hold grudge to the place where I want to retaliate, though I must admit many times I sure feel like it. And I must admit at times, too, I think in terms of what's down the road. And my thoughts get pretty sober and serious concerning what's down that road when I think of people. The reason I think this way is because I can't understand a man claiming anything at all to do what some of the people do. Now, that's my problem, and you're going to have the same problem, and do have the same problem, whether you know it or not. The reason I say this is because the Bible said, let the priest go between the porch and the altar, confessing his sins and the sins of the people. Now, the point is this. How in the world can the priest, or that prophet, confess the sins of the people unless he knew every single person and knew their hearts? You don't need to. As long as I know my heart, I know what goes right, I know what goes wrong, I can nail you to the wall by just talking about myself. Because there's one word that classifies us all. The heart of man is desperately wicked and sinful. Who can know it? I, the Lord, check those reins up. So you must be careful that you live in peace as much as within you as possible. The next thing, how much is in me? How much do I claim? How much at peace can I be? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't bear grudges and don't hold grudges. Commit all things unto the Lord, for he careth. But remember, when you see those things out there, Brother Branham once said to a man, by the grace of God, I'll never use your name again. So that's a terrible thing. What do you mean it's a terrible thing? You think the guy was nuts? You think you know more than he does? You're going to come on judgment day and say, well, I never said that prophet said it. I'm better than the prophet. Hey, you better take a lesson. It means keep your mouth shut. Never, ever use your name again. Now, he said at one time, he said, if you can't say something good, keep your mouth shut. And he's telling that man, listen, there's nothing good I can say about you. I'll never speak your name again, either here or before the Lord. So there's a lot of praying you can do. It's just plumb negative. It's just waste of time. It's hogwash. You're boring God. You're boring people, boring yourself. Be honest and be sincere. Be really sincere in your heart. Do you know when you call upon God, you're calling out of your spirit of truth, sincerity. You're not highbrowing. You're not high mucky-mucky. Just an ordinary guy that needs help like everybody else. Consider yourself, lest you're tempted. And you pray earnestly for those around about you, loved ones and all. But remember, you can't pray for that church out there. You cannot pray for the reprobate. It doesn't make any sense. If you could snatch them as a brand from the burning, that's great. Be nice if you could. Some make a difference. Is there something there? If you don't see anything there, leave it. But the great thing is start with yourself, getting your channels open to God, asking the Lord to forgive you. If necessary, praying until you get certain things out of your heart. You know you've got the victory over them. Get the paths clear. Pray one another, God's people. You haven't got time for the Word. You hardly got time to even pray for yourselves and each other. So keep yourselves in the love of God in the prayer this way, and you will see that things will begin to move. You'll have more peace in your heart, more peace in your mind, and you'll see things coming from your soul will be clearer, more one with the Word. That'll reflect in your actual walk. I think it could even be seen in your body, in the sense that God looking down, piling word upon word is bringing us somewhere. Somebody's, if I'm not, there's somebody in this congregation this afternoon on the way to immortality, just sitting here. I don't know who it is. I have no doubt there'd be somebody here today who will not see death, but stand right there while death's passing all around. Great tribulation setting in. The devil completely incarcerated or incarnated in a pope. It's just going to be good to get out of here. Brother Branham said, so live, you may see your loved ones in the resurrection. You can live any way you want. It doesn't mean you'll see your loved ones in the resurrection. They might not be there. You might not be there. But he said, you live in such a way, and you will, if your name is on that last book of life, that you know you will see them. It's not built upon works. It's built upon the grace of God in people's lives that allow them to put down their own living and take up His living, His life within us. So when you pray, just be careful that you're Get your lines clear with God, forgiven, and do your best to get your lines clear with everybody else. Keep at it, and I believe that pretty soon we'll have clearer lines toward each other, and we'll really know the love of God which passes understanding in our hearts, minds, and lives in a unison we've never known. And there again, you're right back to the time of the Apostle Paul. That happens to come and can only come by the living Word of God. That's where all trouble has been here, our whole trouble. It's always never going to cease. If we have trouble in the church, it's going to be always over the Word, except for one or two that may want to step out and speak into sin. Let me assure you, if you're caught, don't worry. The whole world will know it. There's nothing that's undercovers. But you got to watch that Word. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll go to kneel down and pray. Heavenly Father, you pray you take these few words here where we can all begin to open our lives to you, O God, in our lives. And our souls, Lord, that the truth of the Word, the spiritual, moral, and values of it, Lord, may get down deep within us. And we in turn, Lord, be transformed and our lives transformed by that life of that Word because we take heed to the Word. And we know as we take heed to the Word, you take heed to ours, O Lord, and you answer our prayers. And today we know we have many prayers here that will be called by various ones in your great name, Lord, as we pray before you, whatever way the people desire to pray. But praying from the heart, Lord, and in faith that you hear, that you want us to be living epistles read and known of all men. And that's what we desire to. So we don't turn away our ear from your word one iota. And thereby then neither do you turn away your ear from our word. Because, Lord, we know that we'll be wanting what you want us to have. And there's so much in this book that you said we could have. And like James said, it's a pity you're not getting it because you could have it. Help us to know that as we pray today. That the surety is there, the enforcement is there, the claim is there, as the prophet taught, as we heard from his word this morning, that we have indication given. Let it be that in the people today, Lord, in the days to come, as we seek your face in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. All right, let's go to prayer.